Life happens fast. Be financially ready. Call Mesiro, 877-MESIROW. Your Money Matters is where I meet the fine folks at Mesiro every single Monday. First Monday of the month, we usually do long discussions live in studio. It is the last Monday of this month, but Greg, I went ahead and declared this the first Monday of a Mesiro Monday, and I'm glad you came on this show today. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I appreciate the invitation.
Greg Lunsford, who you and I have chatted a lot, and you like to go a little bit deeper into the thought process behind money, right? I mean, this is kind of what you studied, isn't it? How we think about money more so than just the number in front of us.
Well, we understand the outcomes of certain financial decisions, but it's also helpful to understand the why. And so I like to help people work through both. So if it's a behavior that is a negative behavior, you understand the why, which helps you understand how to correct it easier.
Meaning if you spend X amount on something you shouldn't have, why did I do that? And not just, oh, I'll never do that again. But what is the impulse that brought that along that I can fix?
What is the impulse and what is the cause of it? A lot of these things are deeply rooted in things like childhood and things that you witnessed in our learned experiences.
All right. I want to dive into these money values questions. But first, given that we have a market that I believe is still down today. We'll get the latest numbers from Bob Kessler in a bit. It's not been a great year, but 10% corrections aren't anything new. I think there is a little bit of a overstatement of the worry of where we are right now. Well, maybe that's my interpretation. Greg, what's yours? Where are we at right now? What are customers asking you, clients of yours?
They're not new, and we're used to understanding volatility and ups and downs in markets. What the markets don't like is uncertainty, and there's just so much uncertainty. These are policies that are new. They come out one day, they pull back one day, and we don't know what follows. So I think it's really more anxiety that's got people concerned. When I get phone calls, people are just trying to figure out, you know, you try to recognize a pattern, right? Mm-hmm. And when you recognize a pattern, you go, I've seen this before. A lot of people are having a hard time recognizing the pattern as it relates to policy and certain decision making and things like that, which causes a bit of discomfort.
Right. Normally when we have a correction, a 10%, which I shouldn't talk, I don't think we have that on all markets. Maybe the NASDAQ, I think, reached correction territory momentarily. But we're near there, let's say. Normally, there's some economic data that goes around with it, right? Like, oh, it's a spike in inflation, or, oh, a spike in unemployment. The numbers, we've had little glitches here and there where it looked like inflation was heating up again. Maybe it's cooling back down again. Job numbers pretty steady. We don't have these any, like, catalyst that we have from a number standpoint. So does that make it even more worrying that this is a decision or a lack of a decision or an indecision by the president that is causing this?
I can see that. I think so. This isn't like 2022 where we said, okay, there was a great deal of stimulus into the economy, which led to overheating of the economy, which led to inflation. And even though we were going back and forth trying to figure out if we were having a recession or not, there were some fundamentals that we could go to, and there was a lot of comparison to the Paul Volcker era where there was runaway inflation. I think that created some fear that we thankfully didn't have to revisit that. But like I said, people look for patterns, right? They look for as we've talked about in the past, they look for things that they've seen in their lived experience. And none of us have a lived experience like this before. And so I think that causes a lot of people to get unsettled.
What do you tell clients? I know each one's individual. You know, it makes a big difference whether maybe this is the first year you've retired and maybe your numbers aren't doing so hot. Is it about creating that plan or believing in the plan that you had set forth from the beginning?
Yes, it is. And that's why when we look at building portfolios and having conversations with clients, we take a long-term view, as well as we look for things to put in portfolios that are supported by underlying assets that we could say, you know, the value is supported here. What we see when we have pullbacks, the first thing that gets pulled back is something that the market perceives as overvalued, right? And so you saw that in the technology trade where a lot of people were looking at AI as the wave of the future. Hasn't quite materialized yet, but we believe. But now people don't want to work on a belief system. They want to say, what have we actually seen? Mm-hmm. And that's what the market pulls back back towards. It's no longer looking at a forecast. It's looking at what company do I see that actually demonstrates its value right now and can continue to demonstrate its value in a downturn, and I feel more comfortable with that. When you take a long-term view, those are the types of assets you put in the portfolio anyway. And so I would say until we know something else, stay the course.
Yeah. I think that's a long way of saying none of the Mesirow clients have 100% NVIDIA as their stock, right? I mean, like, not to call them out, but, like, that was an example of a pullback of AI, but you're looking at a broader...
Broad diversification is typically a good practice.
Right. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this values conversation. Why is it so hard to talk about money with our spouses, with other people? What is it about money that drives us a little bit to be silent?
That's a great question. And the interesting thing is, a lot of people don't like to talk about money. It's just taboo. And the interesting thing about it is, it goes across social classes. So you would think, like, if you were from a really wealthy family, you'd be encouraged not to talk about money simply because you don't want anybody to know how much wealth you have. You don't want to attract predators. You don't want to be viewed as arrogant or anything like that. But the same is true if you're not from means, right? Sometimes families don't talk about money because it's a source of embarrassment and their scarcity, and which creates fear and uncertainty, and there are lots of fights about it. So this is a really interesting topic because it doesn't matter where you come from. There is just this thing, we don't talk about money. And what we're starting to learn is a lot of the things that we fear in a conversation about money with our children and our families, we should probably get beyond because we're better suited if we do have these conversations. And so one of the things that has come out is this has created a lack of financial literacy. And so we don't get it around the dinner table, and we no longer get it in all the curriculum in school. Mm-hmm. So it's no longer part of economics. So there are a lot of people that walk around that just don't know. And less than the majority of people, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about, they may be very savvy in other ways, but less than 50% of folks are truly considered financially literate. And I mean not having a PhD in economics, but just knowing basic things like how to calculate interest or what a recession technically is, or something like that.
Well, this is, at the dinner table with my three-week-old, should I be printing out my spreadsheets on what I have and putting it in front of him? I mean, what does a conversation with kids or with family members around the dinner table look like about money?
That is great. So what I would say is there are conversations you have at all levels. And there are two things I think you should try to communicate in the conversation. One, have a conversation at least of financial literacy, okay? And two, have a conversation that communicates your values and what you want your legacy to be, because the latter is actually the bigger piece. But if you're having a conversation with toddlers, it could be as simple as making sure they know how to identify certain currency and know that a nickel is 5 cents and a penny is 1 cent. Just basic things like that. If you're having a conversation maybe with a preteen, maybe you have a conversation about let's go to the bank tomorrow and this is what a deposit is and this is what happens when you make a withdrawal. And I think some of these things happen simply because we're now in a digital era, and so we may have not been told these things, but we had the benefit of growing up watching our parents make transactions.
And so the financial literacy conversations can then bloom into a more comfortable position for people in the future to talk about money.
Exactly.
I want to talk after this break. We're going to take a break here, but something you told me once, that we can look to the Golden Girls to help develop our true retirement. I'll have you explain that. That's sure. Greg Lunsford from Mesirow, 1-877-Mesirow, mesirow.com. Greg Lunsford is from Mesirow. Mesirow.com, MESIROW.com. The point you were making before the break about teaching kids about money so that everyone gets a little more comfortable talking about finances, you brought up something interesting to me in the break. You were ultimately getting at, we don't see transactions as much anymore at the grocery store. Maybe that's a bad example, but going to buy clothes, where I would see my mom use cash to buy a shirt and I would understand that concept. So much of that has moved to the digital space, and we need to replace that conversation that would have happened maybe at the store with something that happens at the dinner table.
Yeah, and that's why it's important to mention that in bringing up the conversation, talking about having conversations. We've got to understand the conversation may be different. Mm-hmm. And it may have been okay for us latchkey kids who are Gen Xers. We didn't have a conversation, but at least we got to watch our parents make transactions. And so we had an understanding when we went in the store and we heard our parents say, hey, you know what? Will you give me 10% off if I buy the floor model television instead of the one on the box, right? Mm. Or I wanted the blue pants, but I'll take the green ones if you give me a discount on it. Our children don't see those negotiations anymore. And so even though we didn't have a talk about money, watching those negotiations helped us build financial confidence in terms of advocating for ourselves and becoming curious. So when you're absent going to the bank with your parents and seeing them cash their paycheck and then, you know, saying, you know, putting money in different envelopes, so this is for the rent and things like that, because everything is done over a smartphone now, it makes it even harder to get comfortable with a conversation around money or developing those skills.
That is such an interesting point. And I am immediately reminded of something that sits in my memory from when I was like 10 years old, of my mother, who is one of the nicest people, having a terse conversation at Kohl's because I don't think they were honoring the Kohl's cash or some deal in the paper.
Right.
And she was respectful, but pretty solid in her beliefs that she paid too much for something. And that has stuck with me for years as a great way to advocate for yourself at the store. And you're right. Those sorts of things, kids don't see that anymore.
That's exactly right. So little things such as, you know, you mentioned how do you do it with a young child? They may not have the capacity to understand a full-blown conversation about finances, but you used to sit down with the newspaper and coupon clip and then say, go to the grocery store with me. And they could say, hey, we saved $5 today. And they can say, I cut out the coupons for the laundry detergent or the eggs or whatever it was. So we have to be conscious about other ways that we create that experience.
Interesting. And there's ways to do it. That's the nice thing about the technology. We have got a couple minutes left, so I want to rush ahead a little bit, Greg. You like to talk about retirement. You've studied retirement so well. We always, I think, focus on the number. What's that number I need to retire? Without doing the due diligence to think, what does my retirement look like? You and I have talked about, and I encourage people to listen to the podcast at WGNradio.com, losing that job, that sense of who you are, you need to replace it with something. Otherwise, you might be aimless in your retirement or rudderless in your retirement, which is not good. Yeah, you might have a bunch of money, but if you're not happy, you don't have social relationships. So you've often referenced the Golden Girls as an example to building a retirement that works well socially. Explain in like a minute.
So the point I was making when we got together last time is a lot of times people think that the exit from work will just be the end of a financial relationship you have with an employer. There are a lot of things that we get out of work that we don't think about until the tail end of our career. One is socialization. Two, management of time, structure in our day. And three, something that gives us psychological success, that when we accomplish it, even though we may not like the people around us, we can look at that accomplishment and say, that makes me feel good. It gives us an opportunity to self-actualize. And so what happens is a lot of times people go into retirement, they have worked the cash flow down to a T. They won't run out of money, but what they find is they're trying to figure out what makes them tick, which gives them purpose. And you can burn a lot of money up trying to figure out who you are, right? Hmm. You could buy boats, you could travel to places and decide you don't like it and all that. So what I try to work with clients on is figure out who and what you want to be. You got to develop this vision before you go into it about what you want to be in your next chapter. And so we were talking about the Golden Girls because I said that was a great example of how in that house, and I don't know if they knew that they were this forward thinking, but in that house, you had multi-generations in that house. And we were talking about laddering relationships because we're now living longer. So you don't know if your cohort, your buddies are going to be around when you're around. So it's important to make friends with younger couples or younger people in your community because you will need to the knowledge, the expertise, and maybe even you won't have the longevity in people who you think you might.
Right.
They may not be here. And so we were just saying every day when they got up in that house, they had something to do. There was always a prank going on. There was always a scam. That gave them purpose. That gave them joy. They were always going out to do something. So they figured out how to structure time. And more importantly, from a financial standpoint, they were all roommates, so they were able to split the cost of retirement. And so that's where we're going to find ourselves because there are so many people that are living longer. Families are smaller now, so you don't have the benefit of having all your cousins and nieces all in the same city.
Yep.
Now, everybody's spread out. And so you're going to have to develop friendships to replace kinships.
Yep.
And so looking at that Golden Girls model, it addressed so many things that are relevant today.
Yeah.
It's just a great model.
We got to go, Greg. 1-877-MESERO, mesero.com. We do Mesero Mondays on Your Money Matters. Thanks for bringing it to this hour, my friend.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Want to live well? Then you need to plan well. A Mesero advisor can help you create a financial plan that fits your life. Call Mesero at 877-MESIROW.